Talking Business on Radio Q.
Joining me now is Len Kleinman, Chief Cybersecurity Advisor for Asia Pacific and Japan at RSA Security, which is a division of Dell Technologies. G'day, Len. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, good morning, Alan. Thank you for having me.
Now, you've been in cybersecurity for quite a while. It's become incredibly a hot topic over the last few years. Why is that? Is it simply because the hackers are getting better at it?
I think that what's really happened, particularly over the last few years, is that there's been a number of significant high-profile security incidents, I think. And if you look in the last few years, you had everything from the Target breach and Anthem, you had Sony. Last year, we had the Yahoo breach. And I think that the weight of those type of events has elevated cybersecurity quite significantly into the public light. For my mind, that's what's sorely thrust it into that focus for business and government these days.
But also, you hear of companies saying and governments saying that, you know, I heard someone the other day said, we get X thousand attacks per day. I mean, it's not just the huge ones that, like the Yahoo hack that you talk about, and so on. It's the sheer volume of the number of hacks, isn't it?
It certainly is, and I think it also comes back to definitions there. If you go by the pure definition of what is an attack, it encompasses simple port scans on an organization's network. So if you include that sort of things, it's not unusual to have several thousand a day of those type of events occur. I think in a lot of our security practitioners' focus, it's more about those more insidious events that happen at the pointy end of things that we're really focused on there.
You mean where they get in and you the sort of the defences that you've got that generally sort of resist them when they do a port scan aren't enough? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I think it starts to get down to events that actually start to compromise the financial viability of the business, or in government's case, their mission. And this is where RSA Security talks about our business-driven security strategy, where we focus on providing solutions that help our customers to comprehensively and rapidly link those events of interest or security incidents with business context that allows them to respond effectively and protect those things that matter most. It's a lot about shifting that mindset and embracing what really matters to the business, driven by business risk.
Does it mean that you have to approach cybersecurity differently to the way that you'd approach other sorts of security?
Well, from my mind, one of the things that I've definitely seen over my years is that there's been a significant shift in the last few years. And what I'm talking about here is from a compliance-driven approach, where the emphasis about security is about meeting whatever baseline standards that we have to adhere to, and moving it to more what's known as an intelligence-based, risk-based approach. And it really is about security taking the time to understand what is at risk for the business, and ensuring that what we do, what we provide, and that includes all three pillars, people, process, and technology, is there to support the business in conducting what it needs to do, and that is being in business.
But are you saying that a compliance-based approach, that is to say for people in a company to basically do, as you say, the minimum required, that's simply not enough these days? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely, Alan. I mean, there are plenty of examples in the last few years where organizations have been breached. And you see, for example, the Target incident. When the C-suite was asked about the situation, the first thing that they espoused was, oh, we are PCI DSS compliant. And I think you'll see there's a lot of evidence that proves that just being compliant does not equate to being secure.
It's just backside covering, isn't it?
To a degree, it is. In the end, I'm not saying that compliance has no place. What I'm saying is that a compliance-driven approach is no longer a viable anchor to your security cyber resilience program.
Is it also the case, do you think, that the compliance regime is also inadequate?
To some degree, you're correct. Let's face it, the compliance-driven approach, if you're using standards and other type best practice, is always going to be a bit more reactive in that sense. You establish the standards, you aspire to meet them. In the meantime, the whole world is continuing to move on. So unless the standards that you adhere to are continually and regularly reviewed, you're always going to be a little bit behind the eight ball to start with.
I mean, it's interesting that Europe has just introduced or is in the process of introducing what it calls General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR.
Yes.
And I looked on the... I mean, that seems to be taking compliance and data protection to a whole new level in Europe. And a lot of companies are kind of really scrambling to catch up with that. But I looked on the Australian government website, and they say in relation to GDPR, oh, well, it's actually very similar to the Privacy Act of 1988 in Australia. Now, I'd be very surprised about that. I mean, that the new GDPR regulations in Europe are similar to or at a similar standard to the Australian Privacy Act of 1988. Come on.
No. I do think there's two facets to that. You have the legislation that is around privacy, and definitely, you know, Australia's got it, New Zealand's, numerous countries have it. But I think the change that we're seeing is in particular around the enforcement of privacy through things like mandatory data breach notification laws, and the GDPR is just but one of those things. I don't necessarily believe that it's antiquated in that sense. It might be a little late in the coming. It could have been sooner. But definitely things like the GDPR, I think, is putting forward some rather progressive and somewhat disruptive aspects of legislation that organisations need to get their head around.
What's the key disruptive bit of GDPR? Is it because the onus is put on the companies to protect their customers' data?
I think there's a couple of things that you need to weigh into the argument here. First and foremost, it's become mandatory. So a lot of these things, as Australian legislation has also moved, is away from voluntary and it's become mandatory to start with. The second thing with regards to GDPR, as you asked, is that, touching on one facet of it, there's a requirement for organisations to be able to make a determination as to whether they need to notify within 72 hours of being aware of a breach. So you've got a limited time frame in which your business needs to be able to complete its investigation and analysis and says, yes, I need to make notification to comply with the law, or no, I don't. When you add into it some other facets that the GDPR bring into, and they've got incredible increase in emphasis on the rights of the individual. So, for example, the individual has a right to be forgotten is the easiest way to describe it. So if an individual, and what I mean by that is a resident of the EU, makes a request of an organisation that they wish to be forgotten, the organisation has 30 days to comply. So there are some interesting sort of ramifications.
Do we have the right to be forgotten in Australia?
Not on our regulation, no. Our legislation doesn't actually espouse that.
And do our regulations require companies to put mandatory reporting requirements on companies?
It does come into play February of next year. So I believe the legislation for our mandatory data breach legislation has passed our parliamentary process, going through royal assent, and will become law as of February next year.
Right. Oh, well, there you go. So the European one is a fine of up to 4% of annual turnover, which can be quite significant.
Yes, indeed. It's quite a significant impost in that sense. I think the point here, though, is in a lot of the discussions I've been having, it's not so much about the punitive action with regards to this type of legislation. We really should be looking at what is the intent. And a lot of it is about encouraging organisations to increase their security posture, to take things more seriously with the value associated with information and data that they are collecting on people. And when you come at it from that angle, I think you start to have a little bit of a different mindset in how you approach cybersecurity, rather than just worrying about, okay, what's the penalty going to be? So therefore, what I need to do as a minimum, or how do I avoid the penalty? It changes just the whole approach.
Finally, the message that you have to get across is that with constant connectivity of everyone and everything all the time, that security has to be a part of everyone's business.
Oh, absolutely. The way I describe it is that the world and our, a lot of our business, government and non-government, are experiencing increased digitization. Delivery of services, online services, applications, and connectivity, whether it's through IoT devices, smart meters, and things like wearables. You know, invariably, what's going to happen is that in doing so, we're going to increase that overall potential attack surface. So the expectation is that over time, you're going to see more and more of these type events occur.
That's great to talk to you, Len. It's a really interesting time we live in, is it not?
Oh, no, absolutely. It is exciting. It's definitely creative in a lot of ways, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
I've been talking to Len Kleinman, who's the Chief Cybersecurity Advisor for Asia Pacific and Japan at RSA Security.